When Jesus says, "Ask and you will receive," do we really, really believe that? Just think about it for a moment. Do we really, genuinely believe that what we ask for, the Lord will give to us? That He always answers in response to our prayers and always gives us good things? I think that sometimes we can limit the generosity of God, feeling that when we pray, because our prayers may not be answered at the time we expect, in the way that we expect right away, that maybe that means that God doesn't care about me. Those are the conclusions that we sometimes draw, even if we intellectually understand that God is good and that He always hears our prayers and answers us. We can sometimes get into that mode of thinking and not pray as much or as devotedly, or think that there's not really much of a point to it. And I think that with the examples that Jesus gives today, we can sometimes reduce what is really being said and thinking of God as only just generally takes care of us, but you know, we really have to do most of it on our own. That's especially indicative of this culture today. But if you look at the first example, when Jesus says of this person who comes to his neighbor, bothers him to, you know, give him some bread, and he's saying, "My family's in bed, we're asleep, leave us alone." But he keeps pestering and pestering and pestering. So finally, the man gives in and says, "Okay, I'll give you some bread." You know, even if not for the sake of his friend, for the sake of being able to get some sleep. And we can sometimes reduce the idea of what God does to the example of this person, thinking that it means that God is bothered by our prayers, that He has to be encouraged enough to be able to answer our prayers. And He's kind of, you know, not sure, and then we bug Him and bug Him, and eventually God says, "Fine, I'll listen to your prayers." That's not at all what's being said. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's trying to give this example of someone who is not even remotely as good as God, and that saying, even that person will hear and answer your request. So, if you pray consistently to God, can you imagine how much more you will receive? I remember a situation that I was going camping with a friend of mine, and as we were driving out, we saw this hitchhiker on the side of the road. And, you know, the two of us were always kind of keen to go pick up someone like that. We always thought it was kind of fun. So we negotiated very quickly, and yeah, we'll pick him up. So we picked up this hitchhiker, and he sits in the back seat, and we just start chatting. He notices the rosary that we got hanging from the rearview mirror, and he starts talking to us about God. We start having this faith discussion. And he's explaining about the different problems and issues he's got going on in his life, what he's struggling with. And we start telling him, you know, "Would you like to pray with us? You know, maybe when we arrive, we decided to stop off at a church on the way to drop him off there. And we said, when we go to the church, how about we all pray together?" And he was saying at first, "Well, I'm not totally sure because, I mean, my problems aren't all that big. And God's got a lot to deal with. I mean, I just imagine Him in heaven as, like, there's this phone there ringing off the hook, you know, poor people, people dying, you know, all this terrible stuff going on in the world, and it's just ringing off the hook, and I don't need to bog God down with my prayer requests. I can get along okay." And I said, "I think you've got the wrong kind of image in your mind about what it's like." So to use your analogy, I would think of it more as there are, you know, billions upon billions of telephones. There's enough telephones that there's one for every single person in all of history. You have your own personal phone in heaven. And because God is infinite, It is though, as though there is one of him for each and every phone, where he can devote undivided, complete attention to your phone. And that is all that he cares about. And if you don't call him, he's just sitting there, waiting by the phone, just waiting, waiting. Is he ever going to call? I hope he does. That's the real, more of a sense of what it's like for God, because he's not bound like we are. The love and generosity of God cannot be limited. We limit it in that sense of thinking that, you know, God doesn't have that immense love and generosity. Because when we don't see specifically what we want, I think we have a tendency to hold back and start to make assumptions that, well, I know that God is all good and I know that he hears my prayers, but I just don't feel it. It doesn't really seem like it's there. And this passage is to tell us that really it's about perseverance in prayer. When we ask, God wants us to ask and ask and ask and ask. He doesn't want us to limit our asking. And the reason why is the more that we ask, the more it builds a deeper desire in us. It's for us, for our sake. God doesn't need it. God knows what we want. He knows what we want before we even put it into words. But he does that so that we can grow deeper in our desire. And the second example that God gives, Jesus tells this story of, or gives us an example that even a parent will give good things to their children. Even a parent who can make mistakes. A parent who maybe doesn't always do what is good or what is best. Even an evil parent still knows how to give good things to their children. If your son comes up to you and says, Mom or Dad, can I have an egg? You don't go, here, son, here's a scorpion. Nobody does that. But yet that example is exactly what we sometimes reduce God to. Thinking that he doesn't necessarily want to hear our prayers. He's tired by our prayers. Maybe he won't give us what we want. He won't give us something that's really good because I know what's best. And God's not doing what I need right now that is of the utmost importance. But you see what Jesus gives us. And this is the kicker. When you listen to the end of the gospel reading, when he says, how much more does the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? This is the great gift that God wants to give most of all, the Holy Spirit. Far beyond what our requests may be, when we ask, God responds with the Holy Spirit. That's what he gives us. He says, I'm not going to just give you, just hear your little prayer, this small intention that you have. I want to give you myself, my life. I want to give your friend who's suffering myself, my life. He wants to give us the greatest gift of all, the Holy Spirit. So when we ask, we do receive. It just may not be in the way that we expect or at the exact moment that we anticipate. And that is because God is always preparing us and giving us something far greater, so that our prayers may be answered in abundance. Let us not limit the generosity of God. So do we really believe it? Do we really really believe when Jesus says, "Ask and you shall receive"? You shall, not you might. You shall receive. We need to truly, truly believe. To the point that even like the Jewish people, or even in the beginning of the church, they would, when they would pray, they would often pray mixed with thanksgiving. So in the same breath that they would ask God for something, "Lord, you know, I need help with this suffering. You know, heal these wounds of mine, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for healing my wounds. I thank you and praise you, God, for what you are doing in my life right now." That is the prayer of confidence that says, I know and trust that God is going to give to me what I ask, greater than what I ask. And I will see it one day. I will see it when it is best. So when you pray, thank God. Thank God for hearing your prayers. Because when we ask, we truly, truly do receive.